FNR, Football Nation Radio.
In Copanicu, yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool!
I cannot believe it! It's Paul Viduka! And he's done it! He's done it for Leeds United!
Oh, and Johnston's through! This time, he surely is going to make it. 3-0!
Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to the Aussies Abroad program here. This is Chris Appleford, and for the next hour we're going to be talking to Australians overseas plying their trades in the leagues around the world. We've got a big show ahead. Off the top, we'll be talking to Damien Davies, as we always do, all about the Australians who are doing great things overseas. Then we're going to chat to Matt Smith, of course, the former captain of the Brisbane Roar, two-time premiership-winning captain of the Brisbane Roar, three titles overall. He's now playing for Bangkok Glass in the Thailand Premier League. And then we're crossing to Austria. We're going to chat to Sturm Graz central midfielder, former Melbourne Victory and Adelaide United midfielder Jimmy Jago, and talk to him about his exploits over there in the Austrian Bundesliga. He is going great guns, and Sturm Graz are on top of the ladder there. So we've got a big show ahead. But as I mentioned off the top of the program, as always, we're going to be chatting to Damien Davies. Damien, welcome to the program again.
Good evening, Chris. How are you?
I'm great. Big show ahead. Big show, which is fantastic. A couple of great interviews to come up with Matt Smith and Jimmy Jago. But first, mate, let's get into the Aussies doing their thing overseas. Not a nice story to start with. Tommy Rogic, his Champions League misery continues.
It does. It hasn't been a great campaign for the Aussies. Rogic was involved, but they went down to Anderlecht, 1-0 loss, which means they're now officially into the Europa League. Which is a little bit better than Feyenoord, who unfortunately finished fourth in their group. They did beat Napoli on the last day, but a little bit too late for them. So they're out of all comps now. Two other Aussies representing teams in Europe, Matty Leckie is at Hertha, who unfortunately were also knocked out. And Alex Gersbach is at Rosenborg, and they also got knocked out. So we've got one Aussie left in European competitions. So this could be a fairly quick segment going forward.
Yeah. Well, we do need to cut back the time, you know. So this could be one way of doing it. Hey, battle of the Aussies in the EPL. What's going on there?
Yeah, exciting for all the followers of Aussies Abroad that Matt Ryan and Aaron Moy were up against one another for the first time in the Premier League season. Bragging rights go to Aaron Moy, with Huddersfield prevailing 2-0. Was a little bit of a dicey moment there for Matt Ryan as well, so I'm sure Aaron would have let him know about that.
Shocker.
And we'll find plenty of opportunities to get into it. Down at the championship level, a couple of good things happening there for us, right? So Bailey Wright got another 90 minutes got another 90 minutes, and Bristol City got a 90-minute goal against Sheffield United. So very important 2-1 win for them. Yeah, so they've jumped up to third now on the table, chasing auto promotion, which is a big thing. Yep. Jackson Irvine got his got another 90 minutes for Hull, and I'll say scored the match winner. It was a very early goal, I think about the 64th minute, but it ended up being the winner. So he scored his debut goal for Hull, so good to see him up and away. Massalongo, James Meredith kept going about what they've been doing and got another 90 minutes. And then down at League One, a couple of things to note there. Ryan Williams has got himself back into the starting lineup at Rotherham. You'll recall me mentioning his little brother last week, who's in India now, and Reece's brother as well, right? So the Williams boys are starting to get back into the headlines, which is fantastic to see. Cam Burgess got another 90 minutes. Unfortunately, this week, Scunthorpe did go down, so I think that puts him back down to about six at the moment. But they've had a great run, as we've discussed on this show a couple of times. Then maybe, Chris, if you let me jump up to Scotland real quick.
Yeah,
Andy Rose, Ryan Edwards, both started again for their respective teams in the Premiership in Scotland, which is great. Andy Rose has come up from Coventry in the off season, so to see him getting solid minutes in Scotland is a good thing. Chris Duggan got his third in a row, three matches in a row. He scored for East Fife, so I'm not going to profess him to be a solution for our striker dilemmas, but good to see him getting a couple of goals. The big news out of Scotland, Tom Rogic. No bench appearance, no nothing this week in Scotland.
Yeah, something's going on there.
A bit of a mystery.
Yeah,
don't know if that's injury or Yeah, so a bit of concern to understand exactly what that is. Obviously, they've got a pretty decent squad, so it could be rotational, but rotational doesn't mean out of the squad completely. So watch and we'll hear. We'll hear a bit more over that over the next few days, I would say.
No Scott McDonald news.
Scott McDonald got 90 minutes, no, but for some reason he didn't score this week. He needs to pull up his socks.
He does. Whenever I think Scottish football...
He doesn't wear it.
I think Scott McDonald.
Yeah, and I was going to say he doesn't pull his socks up very often. They're often around his ankles. So.
What about our Aussies on the continent? Doing well?
Yeah, pretty good. Unfortunately, in Holland, Mark Berghetti is still back on the bench at NAC. They got posted by Ajax a couple of weeks ago. He got one more game after that, and then he's been relegated. So given what's on at stake at the moment for keepers and World Cup squads, he needs to find himself back into the team sooner rather than later. Two Aussies who did get 90 minutes in Holland were Kenny Dougal and Craig Goodwin. They both got 90 minutes in a nil or draw with the tests, which is good to see. In Germany, Cruz started again and scored a nice goal. He sprung the offside trap, which was always good to see because he never seems to be able to successfully do that for the Socceroos. He gets caught offside a lot. But he got through the trap and no one got near him and he tucked it away nicely. So good finish there by Robbie. I heard you mention earlier you're going to speak to Jimmy Jago later.
Yeah.
His team, Storm Graafs, won again this week. So he's smashing it. He's playing 90 every week. I won't go too much into him. Yeah, they're going really well. And also in that same league, James Holland is now back from injury. So he found himself in the starting 11 at LASK, which is good to see. Then a couple of other updates on guys that we're keeping our eyes on. Nick Ansell got another 90 minutes in Portugal. So that's, I think, three games in a row. He's returned now, so good to see that. Awa Mabil is the same. He got another 90 minutes. And Mustafa Amini, interesting one this week. His team, AGF, are struggling a little bit. No fault of his. He's getting 90 minutes every week and contributing in the midfield. But they managed to eke out a 2-2 draw this week with top-of-the-table Bromby. So hopefully that's the start of things turning around a little bit for Mustafa in his club league.
More accolades for Matt German, I see.
Yes, remiss of me not to mention last week he was voted... actually, I did mention, I think, one point he was voted Newcomer of the Year. Last week he was also crowned Defender of the Year in the K-League. He got 56% of the vote. So
wow.
Great effort for him, right? He's had a stellar period, obviously, not only in Korea, but also with his Socceroos 15 caps, I think it is, he's ended up with at the moment. So he's going really well. A couple of other things to note in Asia. Adrian Casera scored a nice little curling free kick for his side, Wawel in the UAE to win 3-0 and stay at the top of the table. An old Aussie abroad, Travis Major, who's playing in Hong Kong at Pegasus, he's scored his second brace for the month. So he's going on quite nicely. And Rukavica scored again in a 1-1 draw for Maccabi Haifa in Israel. So good to see him continue on his way. He's one of those guys that's going to be fighting it out to get into the World Cup squad. So he needs to be scoring and contributing consistently.
Hey, January is coming up, which, as we all know, is, especially in a World Cup year, is a busy time of the year because players want to leave clubs where they're not getting a game and go to clubs where they are going to be playing so that they can get picked in those squads wherever they're from for the World Cup. Who needs to move in January for the Australians?
Yeah, that's a great intro. Unfortunately, I've almost taken my list straight off the get it back on the radar list that I normally use here, right? So a few things to note. Just as an intro, Harrison Delbridge, who we've spoken about on this segment a couple of times, he was over at FC Cincinnati. He's been struck off the Aussies abroad list. He's signed with Melbourne City.
Yep.
So all of our listeners in Melbourne will be able to go and watch him from January next year when his transfer goes through. Who needs to get back on the radar? To be honest, most of the guys in China. So Matt Spirinovic, we spoke about, he's down in the second tier in China. He needs to get a transfer right now. His contract is up. Sainsbury, we know, got a bit of a run towards the end of the season at his club side. He's just got out of hospital and recovering on a hip injury that he's had a tidy-up done for, but he needs to get himself into a situation where he's playing regular football. I don't think that's going to necessarily impact his selection in the World Cup squad, but we obviously want him playing, right? And Jenny O is the same. He started coming good for the last two or three games in the Chinese league that ended about a month ago. But given we need strikers, he needs to think seriously about a transfer. The other guys that I think are probably there or thereabouts for the Socceroos, but they need to be getting game time. I think Brad Smith is one of the fairly obvious ones. He was a bit of a preferred choice on the left, but now that Baej is coming up coming up behind him very, very quickly, I think Smith's been overtaken by him, and the fact that he's struggling a bit with an injury means he's got to do something this January. Iconomidis, we mentioned, he's just disappeared at the moment. He can't get out of Lazio. He needs to get himself a club game. Nathan Burns, we mentioned him as well. His season is over in Japan, so probably a great time now for him probably to even consider coming back to the A-League if there's a spot there for him. And one that we haven't talked about is Bernie Abini. So he left Sydney to go across to Vancouver in the Major League in the States. Had a pretty average season by his scoring record. Given that they've just gone into their off-season as well, he might want to think about getting a gig in one of the lower European leagues or even back in Australia on loan, right? But he could use some game time coming into the World Cup as well. So quite a few guys there, mate. I think you'll find there'll be a lot of activity with, as we always see, guys scrambling, as you mentioned earlier, right? Scrambling to get game time as we move into the World Cup. And the other thing to note is it's an exciting time of year with the Christmas break, right? A lot of the younger Australians floating around in England, like Jordan Linden and Ben Falami, those guys will hopefully get a bit of a run over the Christmas break. So keep our eyes on those blokes.
Damien, thanks so much for your efforts today and all year so far that we've been on the air here on FNR Football Nation Radio. We're going to take a break now, of course, and we'll be coming back on January 9 next year, so a few weeks off. Thanks very much for your efforts, mate. Have a Merry Christmas and a safe and happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again in the New Year.
Absolutely. Pleasure, mate, and same to you and all the listeners. Have a good Christmas, New Year.
Damien Davies there. Make sure you follow him at Twitter, at Damien Davies 72. That's D-A-M-I-A-N Davies 72. Keep up to date with all the latest Aussies abroad news right there with him. We're going to take a break. After the break, we're going to have a chat with Bangkok Glass central defender, Matty Smith.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Did you know there are around 200 Australians playing football professionally overseas? Join me, Chris Appleford, on Aussies Abroad every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. as I catch up with everyone from the biggest names in the biggest competitions to our lesser-known players in some of the more obscure leagues around the world. FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football.
Welcome back to FNR Football Nation Radio. Here it is, the Aussies Abroad program, and I've got a very special guest with me now. He's a former Portsmouth, North Queensland Fury, Brisbane Roar player, now playing in the Thailand Premier League with Bangkok Glass. I'm talking about the former Brisbane Roar Premiership skipper, no less, Matthew Smith. Matty, thanks for joining the show.
Cheers, thanks for having us.
Mate, you've been living in Bangkok for a few years now. You've got a family. What's life like there for you?
Yeah, really good. I've just finished my third season there now, so the family's pretty settled. We live in the center of Bangkok, and my club's not too far, so I think that's a big ask whenever players go overseas, if the family's going to settle, and if the family's just settled, then it makes your life a bit easier that you can just focus purely on the football.
Did you struggle in the early days, or did you just take to Bangkok life like a fish in water?
Well, I guess before I signed, I made sure that I did lots of research, and the vice president and the coach at the time flew over to Brisbane, and we spent a few days together discussing the club and the vision. So I had a pretty good idea of what I was walking into when I first signed. So I think that really helped. That it kind of aligned, I guess, my character to that of the club that had a good plan of where it kind of wants to go and who it kind of wants to be. So when I walked in, it was obviously a big difference and a big change from what I'd experienced at Brisbane. But on the same token, those first few weeks, it was identifying the areas there in which the club can move forward and take some progress. So it took a bit of time, but all up, it's been a good move.
What was the motives for leaving the A-League to go and play in the Thai Premier League?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't probably just one motive. There was a few motives over the decision-making process. And the first was, you know, I came into football, well, professional football, very, very late, at the age of 27, and was very, very fortunate to get that chance at the Fury, and then equally very, very grateful that Ange picked us up at Brisbane, and we've done pretty well over the, you know, four and a half years that I was there. And I always knew at some point that, you know, I'd like to kind of challenge myself in a different environment. And along the way, there was always offers to get into Korea or into China, but for one reason or another, it just didn't feel right. It didn't really, wasn't really the right timing. And at the age of 32, you know, it was kind of now or never, really. So, you know, that was a good opportunity. And I kept a little bit of an eye on Thai football when Eric Carley moved across there, and just to, you know, get myself in a new environment, in a new country, a different league, that was a big motivation. Obviously, the security of a longer term, I guess, financial opportunity, you know, that was also, you know, played a part. We knew Bangkok pretty well because we, you know, we travelled there before, and I met my wife in Asia, you know, backpacking many, many years ago, so we were very familiar with the city and the environment and the culture. And also, I don't know if many people know, but we had a longer term ambition to adopt a child from Asia. So my wife and I, we've successfully achieved that since we arrived. So we've now added to our family, we've got a fourth child now, which is a lovely little Thai girl, which is part of our motivations as well. So it wasn't just probably one thing. There was a few things that kind of fell into place and kind of ticked all the boxes. But, you know, from the football perspective, it was, you know, getting into the environment, testing myself, changing in different areas. From the financial perspective, it was something that's a bit more of a longer-term plan. And from the family perspective, we had the ambition to always do this at some point. So there was a few motivations, really.
It sounds like a really holistic kind of decision that you made, not just a football decision, but a life decision and a family decision in terms of adopting a Thai child, which you've now successfully done. So that's fantastic. Can you give us a bit of an insight into the club specifically? What's it like? How does it compare to the Brisbane Roar and even North Queensland Fury when you were there for that 6-week period?
Yeah, I think that's obviously probably the biggest factor in terms of the motivating decision too. Is I worked there a few days whilst the club were here to I guess find out as much as I can about the club. And we obviously don't have the best team because we haven't won a championship yet, but I would probably easily say that I'm probably at the best run club in the country, and that's what really appeals to me, because it's always a little bit of element of unknown. You know, the first few months it's a bit of an investigation. You know, the club to you and the player to the club. But initially, I can quite positively say that I'm very, very impressed with the operations, the mindset, the positivity that surrounds the club. I mean, the club itself, it, you know, owns its own stadium, its own training facilities, accommodation. So, you know, in comparison to Australia, for example, you know, when we were at Brisbane, we had to fight with the Reds to try and get on the training pitches and organise the gym sessions and things like that. Whereas over at Bangkok Glass, you know, the operational side of stuff, it's very, very professional. The standards, the pitches, the training fields, you know, there's absolutely no hesitation in saying that it's run very, very, very well. And it wants to be a successful club, but it wants to be a successful club for the right reasons. And They're a very organic club that likes to promote youth. Well, I'm a bit older now, but in terms of the young Thai guys which are coming through, they kind of really heavily endorse bringing up players throughout their academy. And their style of football really is where we spoke pretty similar to them. We used to play at Brisbane in terms of possession-based, attractive style of football. So I'm very fortunate if I'd have signed and been at a club which probably wasn't similar to my character and behaviours, then I probably wouldn't have lasted as long as I did. But it has a great vision. You know, there's always things that's progressive about the club where they're not there redoing the training pitches, or they're upgrading changing rooms, or they're painting this or building that. It's always steps in the right direction. And as a player, when you see progress within the club, it kind of motivates the team and it motivates the players itself. So I guess that it works both ways. Obviously, I have to perform as a player, but obviously, I know I like to be at a club which is forward thinking and positive with regards to making changes in our direction.
Matty, can you give us a bit of an insight into the difference in standard, and have you had to change your game in any way since moving to Thailand?
Yeah, the standard, I mean, I get asked this question a lot. I believe that probably the top six teams within the league are very, very competitive. They can be very competitive from an Asian perspective. I mean, you regularly see Montong and Billion playing in the Champions League. I mean, they played against Brisbane this year and performed very, very well. Montong, got through and excessively won the Champions League. So the top teams are very, very comparable to the A-League and other Asian teams. The difference in the league, which you can compare to the A-League, is that the A-League, there's not too much difference in standard across the teams. Obviously, with the salary cap, it means that it's still fairly even. Whereas in the Thai League, it's a bit more, I guess, European football, really, where there's no salary caps on the team. So you have the wealthier clubs, which invest a lot more money in the budget, so they can attract higher and higher and better players. And then you have teams at the bottom of the table that have got lower budgets. So you're justifiably going to have teams which are better or worse than others. So the standard very, very does, it does vary from the first place down to the bottom place. But then equally, you can travel away to a team that's bottom of the league that's fighting against relegation. And, it can be very, very tough challenge and a very, very tough game. Whereas the A-League, the standard's high, of course, but it's fairly similar across all the teams, give or take, some sort of characteristics. Individually speaking, I think that the Thai players, technically, they're very, 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 very good. There's countless of occasions where we play, 66 or an 88 and I'm chasing the ball for 2 minutes. So they're very, very good with their technique, their touch, their passing. Obviously, there's many areas where Thai players as a nation need to get better too. And I guess it's those gaps in the market which really excite me about trying to help the team and help the club, trying to fill in the gaps.
It's funny you mention the promotion, relegation influence that has over the game style there in Thailand. I speak to a lot of players in a lot of leagues around the world and they all say the same thing, and that is the real point of difference with the A-League, is that in the A-League it's very same. I guess all the teams try and play a very similar style of football. I don't mind playing it out from the back. They're a bit more adventurous, I guess, because if you lose, it's not great, but you're not going to get relegated. Whereas in other leagues, the bottom teams really fight to the last minute because it's do or die for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that increases the challenge that we have over here. You can play against the Durian 1 week in front of 30,000 people, and it'd be a great football spectacle when you have two of the top teams playing a tactical and strategic game against each other. It's obviously quite a good watch. And then we can play the following week against a team with a fraction of the budget and on a not-so-pretty pitch or stadium, I guess, they're fighting for survival away from home, and they, you know, their fans and their players are giving it all to try and keep the club up. You know, that's the real kind of mental differences that is implemented whenever you go overseas. And I think that one day it'd be nice to see Australia in that position. I know that there's been lots of talk about it, and geographically it's quite difficult and things like that. But I believe that I think it will be for the benefit of football in Australia.
No doubt. The sooner we have promotion and relegation in Australian football, the better. Mate, you spoke earlier about how you only became a professional at 27 years of age. You'd trialled with 3 A-League clubs, I think it was, and been rejected from all of them. You were playing for Palm Beach, Brisbane Strikers in the Queensland State League. Did you ever feel that it just wasn't going to happen for you?
Yeah, absolutely. When I finished my master's degree in England, my parents emigrated to Australia, and I just played for Great Britain in the World University Games in Bangkok. And I had a good motivation and desire to you know, really have a go at professional football again, because I was at Portsmouth for several years and I got released at probably the key stage. So I guess I always felt that, I always had that desire just to always play at the highest possible level. And when I first came to Australia in 2005, I trialled at Brisbane with Frank Farina, and down the Gold Coast with Miron. And then I had it was a successful trial at North Queensland Fury, actually, with Ian Ferguson, when they went to the pre-season camp in Rockhampton. However, they were unaware that I was classed as a visa player, and they'd already committed to all of their visa spots.
Yeah, so, right.
It was I got the final yes, I guess, and then I got the no pretty much 5 minutes later. So there was never a time where I didn't want to keep pushing and keep striving to play the next level. I mean, even when I was at the Fury in Brisbane, I was always, you know, trying to challenge myself and always trying to be better. But when I was, I guess, rejected probably on the third, fourth occasion, you know, it was like, well, it just got more frustrating. And my wife actually turned around to me one day in conversation and said, well, if you're good enough, you're going to get a chance at some point. And pretty much a few months later, in the Brisbane Strikers off-season, I just got my citizenship, because I've been here 5 years or something like that. And Fury just lost, I think, heavily to Mariners 5-0 at home. And then I got a phone call principally the next day of the week on the Monday, and just said, if you're fit, then you'll play against Adelaide at the weekend. So I had to find my own, had to Townsville, and done a fitness test, and then I was playing against Adelaide on the weekend, and we were lucky that we won 2-1.
Wow. What an elevation, straight into the A-League and straight into the team and straight into a win. Fantastic stuff. Hey, mate,
No, I was just going to say, I think my first touch in the game was a really bad mistake. I had to recover, so I was pretty nervous. But after that mistake, I think I kind of done all right. And I only signed a 6-week contract to have an injury replacement for Shane Stefanuto at the time. So, yeah, it was a bit of a gamble leaving, because I was working as a marketing manager for a finance company, and you know, we had to find money to get up there, because the club didn't support us that way. So I ended up staying in the Backpackers for the first few nights until I played the game, and then after that they kind of said, okay, well,
better
we'll,
put you up.
We'll get you into the house somewhere.
I can't imagine the...
it's all a good story, though.
I can't imagine the Friday night in the Backpackers before a Saturday game would have been the best preparation.
Well, you know, to be honest, I absolutely really didn't care. I could have stayed in the back of a boot. It was an opportunity and it was a chance, and it didn't really matter what kind of occurred off the pitch. You know, it was... That's what I try and preach to a lot of younger kids. It's one thing getting an opportunity, but it's another thing taking it. And that's what really I kind of sense a lot of players apart is. It's having that strength to really take that chance. And it's the same for all players. You know, players like young boys that come into A-League and then get a chance to go overseas, which we've seen quite a lot of now. Some are playing, you know, whether they're going or stepping up to the Socceroos or other national teams, it's you know, a good opportunity, but it's down to the player to then take it, be clear and be brave with it.
Well, Matty, you've made it through the A-League. You actually captained the Roar to two of the three premierships that you played in. You've also played for the Socceroos on three occasions. I mean, what a meteoric rise that's been for you. You're from England. You've played for the Socceroos. Do you cop any stick from family and friends back home?
No, not at all. I think that a lot of my friends and family back home, they kind of know my history and the not so positive moments of my football career. So I think that I've had lots of positivity from lots of media and friends and family from England and you know, lots of encouragement and support. So they're really humble in their opinion of you know, the opportunities that I've had, and I'm very, very grateful for that also, because not many players, you know, get the opportunity as late as I did. And you know, to all the coaches and clubs and fans and players that you know that I played with, and you know, I'm very fortunate at Brisbane because we had a fantastic few coaches there, you know, especially Ange, and the players there were, you know, they're a very special group, and I think that we achieved something as a group. You know, I think individually we all kind of benefited from that, but that was always like a side product. That was never in training or games. That was never any kind of perspective. I think that was the strength of the culture that we had there. So I was very, very fortunate.
Hey, Matty, thanks very much for being a part of the Aussies Abroad program here on FNR. We really appreciate your time, and best of luck with the next part of your journey there in Bangkok.
Brilliant. Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate you reaching out to Thailand.
No problems at all. Matty Smith there, former Portsmouth, North Queensland Fury and Brisbane Roar player, now with Bangkok Glass in the Thai Premier League. Stick around here on FNR Football Nation Radio. We'll wrap up the Aussies Abroad program right after this.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
Into Fabi Kuhl, yes! And last a lifeline for Liverpool!
I cannot believe it! He's bombed the Duca! And he's done it! He's done it for Leeds United!
Oh, and Johnston's through! This time he surely is going to make it! 3-0!
Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Aussies Abroad program on FNR Football Nation Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at FNR_radio. You can follow me as well at Chris Appleford. Now, we have a very special guest on the phone right now, former Melbourne Victory, Adelaide United player, and now plying his trade in Austria with Sturm Graz. Of course, I'm talking about Jimmy Jago. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Cheers, mate. Thank you for having me.
Mate, how are you finding living in Vienna?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Obviously, Austria is a lovely country, and obviously it's a little bit colder than Australia. But now I've settled in really well, and absolutely love it here. So,
is that the worst thing about living there? The temperature?
Yeah, probably. I mean, to be fair, I'm not too bad with the cold. I quite like it, and especially coming from playing games in Australia, where you're playing in Perth in 35 degree heat.
Yeah,
it's quite nice to be playing in the cool, but then like the game this time of the year when it's really, when we played the other night and it's about -5 or -6, and it's a bit tough. But yeah, now as I said, I've not got many complaints about living in it at all.
Mate, I was in Vienna a couple of years ago. I've been there a few times. Absolutely love it. So I'll get onto the football in just a moment. But what's the best thing about living in Vienna?
I mean, where we are, we're a little bit outside of Vienna. We're in Graz.
Yep.
But I mean, the place where we are is a little bit smaller than Vienna, and I sort of like to compare what Adelaide is to Melbourne is what Graz is to Vienna.
Right.
And it's just a really nice little town, or really nice little place. Everyone's very friendly, and everything's within a 5-10 minute drive. And yeah, as I said, me and my girlfriend have really loved it here and settled in really well.
Let's get on to the football, mate. How have you found the transition from the A-League to the Austrian Bundesliga? Can you kind of compare the standards of each league for us?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Obviously, I haven't been here now for a good couple of years and haven't started my career in the A-League. It's really, people are asking this question a lot, and it's very interesting. Obviously, I think it did take me a little bit of time to settle in here and I think that's normal coming from Australia to Europe, where the environment's a little bit different. But I think the league here is probably a lot more competitive in Australia than in Australia. And although in Australia, sort of everyone has the idea that the league there is quite physical and maybe not as technical and tactical, I actually find it a lot more physical and competitive over here. I think the relegation and promotion has got a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, here you play against teams that are probably a lot smaller, and they're sort of fighting for their lives to stay in the top tier. And you know, they're coming to your coming to grass, or you're going there, and they're just playing long balls and fighting for their life. And it's sort of a different kind of football in those games to in the A-League, where, you know, every team sort of tries to play. There's not that threat of relegation, and a lot of teams are happy to try and build from the back. And you know, if they concede a goal or whatever, you know, it's maybe not the end of the world. Whereas here, you know, a lot of those smaller teams won't take that risk.
And, yeah.
and it throws up a lot of different games that you probably didn't get in the A-League, where, you know, it is a real battle. And then obviously you've got the better teams, such as the two Vienna teams and Red Bull Salzburg, where, you know, there's a big jump and a big difference in quality. And it's when you really play against those teams, and that you sort of look at the standard of football and go, you know, it is a little bit of a step up. So I think also as well, the depth of squads and the depth of player here is a little bit bigger than in the A-League. You know, I think in the A-League, in each squad, you've got sort of your starting 11 that have maybe five or six top draw players in there, and then sort of there is that little bit of drop in quality. Whereas over here, you've got squads we've got a squad of 25 players, you know, where almost any of them could play any week. So there's a lot of little subtle differences, and the difference and the jump in quality is massive. And as I said, there's a lot of little subtle differences, but I think, you know, I think that's a lot of the thing of coming over to Europe is, you know, you develop different sides of your game, and you develop as a player by coming into different things that you probably don't get exposed to in the A-League.
So have you had to change your game since leaving Australia and playing in Austria?
I think individually I sort of fell into a role in the team where I became more of a defensive midfielder, and in Australia, you know, I sort of had, especially at Adelaide, had a bit of freedom to sort of go box to box, and you know, whereas here I've become a lot more tactically disciplined and you know, probably focused on the defensive side of the game a lot more than I did in Australia. You know, in Australia, if I used to think back to when I had a good game or not, it would be, oh, what did I do on the ball? You know, did I do anything extra special? Did I set up chances? Did I do stuff like that? Whereas, you know, a lot of the times here, I'm looking back at, you know, how I did, what I did for the team, you know, my defensive role, did I shut down the opposition, all those type of things. And, you know, as I said, you get these games against smaller teams where you're coming out and there's maybe not been that much football played, but, you know, you've had a good game because of, you know, the not so pretty thing that you do. And yeah, I think, you know, I think my game, as a player as well, I've matured and I've sort of developed into probably a different type of midfielder that I was in Adelaide. But you know, it's a role that I really enjoy and that I think suits what my strengths as a player.
I was going to say, do you like the fact that you now sit back, protect that back three or back four or whatever system you play there at Sturm Graz? Do you enjoy that more disciplined, structured role?
Yeah, no, definitely. I really enjoy it. As I said, I was lucky in Adelaide that I played in a very good team with two unbelievable midfielders he decided me in SAS in Kuruska, where obviously SAS was sort of our general in the middle of the park, and Cello was sort of our creative force, and that allowed me to sort of, you know, as I said, have a bit of freedom, get on the ball, work hard, and sort of, you know, work on my all-round game. But obviously coming over here, you need, you know, as a midfielder, you probably need a bit more than that, and I found that I sort of had to define myself as a player and sort of decide what type of midfielder I wanted to be. And as I said, I sort of fell into the team in that more defensive role, and as I started to play it and grow into it more and learn more about it, it's something that I've really enjoyed, and as I said, I think it sort of suits a lot of the things that I'm good at, and yeah, it's a role that I can see myself playing for the rest of my career, and one that I really enjoy.
Now, Jimmy, Sturm Graz are flying at the moment, top of the league, above the big Vienna boys, above you know, the other teams in the competition. Do you allow yourself to sort of look further afield, to dream further ahead, to think about playing Champions League football? Should you be at Sturm Graz next season?
Yeah, I think last year stood us in really good stead for that, because obviously we had a similar sort of start to the season last year, and the first half of the season we were flying, and you know, there was that sort of, and especially in a place like Graz where they love their football, and you know, the team in the 90s was really successful, and they were challenging for league titles and playing in the Champions League, and sort of as soon as we get a few good results together and when we challenge sort of the top of the league, it starts to, the talk of the title sort of comes in, and last year we had a really good first half of the season, and fell away the second half of the season. I think that stands us in good stead. I mean, the thing here in Austria is that you have a winter break, and then you have another pre-season, and then you go into the second half of the season. It's almost like a whole new season, the second half of the season, and a lot of the momentum that you build up in the first half of the season does go. So I think for us, it you know, we've got one more game left, and if we win that, we can finish this first half of the season top, which will be an achievement in itself. And it's about getting that done and going away, having a little bit of a break, and then, you know, making sure that we maybe don't make the same mistakes that we did last year, and that we start the second half of the season strong, so that coming into that final stage of the campaign, we can still be up there challenging.
How have you compared your two seasons there so far? Last year you were every game, 90 minutes, playing great football. How do you compare your two seasons?
Obviously last year, as I said, you know, the team was quite new, and I came into the team in a different role, and yeah, probably took everyone by surprise a little bit, and you know, last year I was just really happy to sort of establish myself here in Austria and in the league, and you know, we had a good season, and yeah, this year was obviously a little bit different, and maybe a little bit more, I wouldn't say expectation, but obviously, you know, I had my role on the team, and then I got back late to pre-season from the Conference Cup, and then didn't start the season in the starting 11, which presented a whole new sort of, I mean, it's a position I've been in before, obviously, but, you know, obviously I had to fight my way back in. And I think, you know, I think even though probably last year, looking from the outside, you'd say, you'd probably say so far last year was a little bit better. I actually feel that this year my performances individually have been better, especially sort of the last 5-10 weeks since I've been playing regularly back in the side. And I think also the team, as a team, I think we've progressed a lot, and then this year we're a lot better side than we were last year. So I think, you know, last year was a good starting point for me, and I always said that, you know, it was good to establish myself and sort of, you know, have a good first season, but that I really wanted to kick on this year. And although, as I said, it's taken me a little bit of time, obviously having to find my way back into the team, I think I'm getting there, and I think there has been improvements made this year in areas that I wanted to improve, but there's still a lot of areas and a lot of things that I want to improve on, and yeah, it's just about continually working And as I said earlier, you know, there's a lot of competition for spots as well. So, you know, that's the thing with another pre-season after Christmas. You know, you've sort of got to, doesn't matter if you finish in the team in the first half of the season, you've sort of got to fight your way to make sure that you're in that starting 11 the second half of the season. So, yeah.
Jimmy, your brother, Luke, plays in Norway for Floro SK. I spoke to him a few weeks ago and we had a chat about you. Do you keep in contact often? Are you there for each other? Do you support each other's careers, like, often? Do you give each other advice?
Yeah, no, we're constantly in contact. We try and watch each other's games every weekend, so we're on some dodgy website watching who each other is, but now we're constantly in contact, and you know, especially when we watch each other's games, we're always there for each other to give each other a bit of feedback, and yeah, you know, obviously we can both help each other out. You know, a lot of the situations he's gone through, I've been through myself, and you know, a lot of the things that he goes through as well, and that, you know, that I can learn from. And And yeah, you know, we're constantly in contact, and I think it's all we've always had that sort of relationship where we are quite honest with each other, and you know, it's good to have someone who you can talk about your game, maybe, you know, in private, where things you're worried about, or you know, things that you don't think you're doing well that you maybe don't want to admit to someone else. Whereas we can have a frank, honest discussion and sort of, you know, help each other out.
You've been in a few Socceroos squads now, which is great. You're really taking your game to the next level. But has it been frustrating not to get that first cap yet? Or is it just still an exciting time in your career to be involved in the squad?
Yeah, look, to be honest, probably a bit of both. Obviously, you know, it's disappointing not to get that first cap. Not so much for the fact that, you know, you want to have a cap, just more from the fact that, you know, you want to go in and make an impact, and sort of every time you get in there and you see what it's about, it makes you want to be more and be part of it even more, and you know, so from that point of view, that you want to be involved and sort of prove yourself at that level, it's disappointing not to play. But at the same time, you know, I'm grateful that I have been able to be involved in a decent number of camps now, and that, you know, the boss seemed fit to call me up a few times. So, you know, as I said, it's a really good experience, and it's an honour every time you get called up. And as I said, it makes you want to go back, and it makes you want to get called up again. And it's up to you to do what you can at club level to make sure that you're constantly there or thereabouts. You know, obviously everything's up in the air a little bit with the new gaffer, but yeah, as I said, it all comes down to your club form and making sure that you're doing well for your club.
Hey Jimmy, you were born in Austria. Have you had any? Has the Austrian FA reached out and asked the question whether you might want to represent Austria?
No, they've not. There was when I first came to the club, because there's a foreign rule here, similar to the A League, but you can have six foreigners in your match day squad. They sort of inquired about getting Austrian citizenship, but it. Yeah, it was too much of a hassle, and it wasn't even sure if it was possible. And to be honest, I've got obviously my Australian passport and my UK passport, and I wouldn't be comfortable giving either of them up. Obviously, you know, Australia is my home, and my parents are there, and you know, it's where I call home. My girlfriend's family's from there, so you know, and England is where the rest of my family is. And you know, it's also a European passport, which is important. So, yeah, the question's never come up. But our coach has just got the national team job, and he did joke about it the other day. But yeah, now my side's the family fixed on the Socceroos.
Good to hear, mate. There's been a few rumours floating about lately of some championship clubs in England showing a bit of interest. Is that a league that interests you, or are you thinking your next step might be somewhere else?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the idea was always to come to Austria and to use it as sort of a first step into... into Europe and to try and, you know, maybe progress to a bigger to a bigger league. And obviously, you know, I'm coming out of contract at the end of the season, so there's always a little bit more interest and a little bit more floating about. But I mean the Championship is a very strong league, and you know, and a league that would be very, very interesting to me, as are a lot of other leagues across Europe. So, you know, it's sort of it's coming up to that point where you know, decisions have to be made potentially, and yeah, but I've, you know, I'm very, very happy at the club, and certainly not looking to move. But you know, as someone who wants to go test myself at the highest possible level, you know, if there was an option to move to a league where I think it would benefit me, then it's definitely something I would look at, and the Championship would be one of those leagues.
Well, as you mentioned, Jimmy, you're not signed beyond this season with Sturm Graz. January's coming up. You can sign a pre-contract with a club somewhere else. So you're right, decisions have to be made.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as I said, you know, I'm certainly not active. I mean, not looking to leave the club. You know, I've absolutely loved my time here, and it's a good club and a good league. But you know, as I said, I'm very ambitious, and you know, I want to go and test myself at the highest possible level, and being out of contract and coming off the back of sort of 18 months to 2 years here, where I've played regularly in a team that's done well. You know, it's a good situation to be in, and you know, as I said, something that we'll see how it pans out in the last couple of months. But in the next couple of months. But I've sort of looked at it and said, you know, I wanted to get my head down and get to this winter break and finish off this first half of the season strongly and see what transpires and go from there.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks so much for being a part of the Aussies Abroad program tonight. Best of luck with the rest of the season there in the Austrian Bundesliga. We've got our fingers crossed for you that you can finish on top. And then, you can either stick around and play Champions League with Sturm Graz, or you can make that big move to another club across Europe. Thanks again.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Jimmy Jego there, former Melbourne Victory, Adelaide United, and now Sturm Graz footballer. Stick around here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Plenty more coming up after the break.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
It's Kofanic, yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool!
I cannot believe it! It's Paul Benduka! And he's done it! He's done it for Leeds United!
Oh, and Johnston's through! This time he surely is going to make it. 3-0!
Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Aussies Abroad program here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter at FNR_radio. You can also follow me there at Chris Appleford if you like. And don't forget you can listen to podcasts of all the shows here on FNR. Just head to soundcloud.com and search for FNR and you'll find them all there. Thanks so much to Jimmy Jego for being a part of the program. He's doing great things with Sturm Graz in the Austrian Bundesliga, topping the table at the moment. Thank you very much to Matty Smith, of course, plying his trade over there in the Thailand Premier League, former Brisbane Roar captain, premiership winning captain, two times no less, three-time premiership player for Brisbane, playing for Bangkok Glass. And of course, thank you to Damien Davies off the top of the show, giving us a great wrap of all the Aussies doing great things overseas. That's it for tonight. Stick around, plenty more here on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Aussies
Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR, Football Nation Radio.